Paul says somebody ought to testify. For God I live. For God I die. Somebody ought to testify. We're just gonna worship with this. Amen. A little second. Amen. So I think you've heard it before. So y'all wanna help us sing this. Amen. And then we're gonna get out the way. Amen.
Oh. God is merciful, God is kind. Amen. Thank God for giving us traveling mercies to go to Georgia and back. Amen. Keep us alert behind the wheel to serve a mighty, mighty good God. You know, that leak is actually coming from the air conditioning. That one is acting up, this one is acting up. So anyone that has available time, we need to get up on the roof and do a few things if we have available time. Amen. I know we have limited time, but there's so many things we're trying to do. And then Miss Anthony told me that Mother Barbara is supposed to be moving this weekend. We have an event on Saturday, event on Sunday. So we're squeezing all in there some kind of way. But I think they said we can start moving as early as tomorrow, right? If anyone is available, have free time, or somewhere, just let me know and we'll see what we can do. So we're going to cram it all into Monday. It was in Praise the Lord. Huh? Are you canceling Wednesday, Friday? Well, I think we got so much. I don't know, it'll be very well attended anyway. So we'll just thank God for that. Also, we do still have milk and bread left over from the food pantry. So anyone that needs milk or bread is not going to last forever. Please stop by the kitchen to get it. I think they're like 13 or 14 gallons of milk and about the same amount of bread. So if you need bread and milk, if you know someone that needs bread and milk, please take it. I mean, we don't want to just let it sit there. It's 2% milk. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. Y'all get quiet on me.
No.
I'm finished with the work part. You get ready to get into the good part. Amen. God is a good God. And we know that all that we're able to do is because of God's grace and mercy. And we thank God for blessing my wife. She was a trooper. Amen. She had the whole Georgia State Council praying and asking about her. Amen. You know how it is when you're sick, is that's when they call you to do something? The first night we got there, they called her up front to do something. So I told her, well, just tell them I'll go bring the mic back to you. But you know how she is. She wasn't going to let me bring the mic. She went up front anyway. Amen. But we just thank God. You know, there's nothing like pressing away. God has been good to us. And I heard Bishop say it on Sunday. He said, what shall we render unto God for all of his benefits? God gives us benefits. Now the question is, how do we repay him for those benefits? God gives us benefits. How do we pay him back? How do we tell God thank you for all that he has done for us? Amen? Also, Saturday, I know we had Saturday, the praise team is singing in Albany. And on Sunday, they're installing Pastor Mike Williams. Bishop Leon Williams' son is the senior pastor at Great Altar Room. So Pastor Harper wants to know how many of our saints, I don't know if we're going to have any here to find out tonight, who's planning on going Sunday? Mr. Simon, I know he's going, Mr. Simon, okay. Because if we have enough with them, we will take our bus. Amen. If we have enough with them, we'll take our bus and we'll make an announcement. But I know more than the priest team is going on Sunday as well. Amen. Amen. So, Dean George, we're trying to do on Saturday. Actually, I talked to Brother Fritz to see if he and I can do it. But you don't go from 3:30, right? Okay, so we'll get through that. Amen? So, isn't it good? It's better to wear out than to rust out, right? Amen. Better to wear out than to rust out. So, we're going to go to our notes. And it says, I was talking to the bishop on Monday when we got back. One of the subjects that I dealt with at his church on Sunday was Abraham sacrificing Isaac. Then I heard some of the same scriptures that you all touched on here. And then Bishop called me on Monday. He said, you know, he was telling one of the elders, he said, you see how God works? He said, we've been dealing with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he said, and no camp didn't know anything about it. He comes right behind and we're dealing with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God sends messages for special reasons. Amen. We should never get tired of hearing the word of God. Amen. Never should we get tired of hearing God's word, because there's a great falling away today. People are all busy doing something, but are they doing what God wants them to do? Amen. And one of the parts we went over on Bishop on Sunday When God spoke to Abraham, he sent Abraham to the place or a specific place. And because he went to a specific place, God blessed him. And how many know in church, a lot of people want to places, but they're not going to places that God sends them. And because they're going to places that God doesn't send them, they're not blessed. Because the 18th verse of Genesis 22 says, God blessed Abraham because of his obedience. Amen. God blesses obedience. Amen. So let us start on our notes. Let's start on page one. We couldn't get as deep in this as we can get tonight, but there are so many hidden nuggets in the Word of God. And especially if you are a minister, an elder, when you study the Word of God, don't study our translations only, because our translations leave a lot out. You have to compare the interlinear Hebrew to find out what is actually being said. Because when the translator translated to make it understandable according to their thinking. But unfortunately, they left out a lot of the meaning in the Hebrew. All right, so they left out a lot. So I'm going to start with verse 1 of Genesis 22, read. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Now, if you do a linear, if you do just a regular search of your lexicon, here I am, they leave that blank. So now we know the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of who? God. So because he says, here I am, is not italicized, which means it was not inserted, that means that was a part of the original Hebrew. So how can the original Hebrew have no meaning? How can it have a blank word? All right, so if you're like me, when I find something that is blank, I know God does not deal in blanks. So all scripture is given by God, is inspiration given by God for correction, for doctrine, for reproof, for instructions in righteousness. That the man of God, how many of us are men and women of God? That the man of God might be perfect. And this word for perfect is only used one time in the whole Bible. It's the Greek word artios, A-R-T-I-O-S. It means that we ought to be thoroughly furnished for God. We want to be what? Thoroughly furnished. Well, how do you do that? You have to pay attention to every word. And a little later we'll go over that. Let me keep going, because I always get them so short. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, to get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now I just got to deviate for a minute again. Alright, now listen, get your interlinear Hebrew Bible to make these comparisons. Alright? Because when you read this in the regular text, there's hidden nuggets that are hidden. But when you read it in the Hebrew, he says that take now, and then in between now and that son, that's an ET. Remember we went over ET before? That means the Aleph and the Tav. And that points to who? Jesus. The first and the last, the beginning and the end. The Aleph is the head, or is the chief ruler on the head, and the Tav is the sign of the cross. And so it means the head was crucified on the cross. That's what the ET means. You don't get this when you read it just in the regular text. So in there it says, and take down thy ET son, then it goes thine only ET again, son, ET Isaac. You know what all that is pointing to? Who? Jesus. Right? But you don't get that by reading the regular text. You have to do it. So three times in that verse, he signed for son, only son, and Isaac, it says ET. Who was that pointing to?
Jesus.
And we know Isaac was a what? Type of Christ. Alright, so just keep that in mind. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day. Now Abraham went to the place. Did Abraham go where he wanted to go? He went to the place what? That God told him. Right. So I was telling Bishop on Sunday as we were speaking, I said there's a whole lot of people that have gone places, but I wonder if they've gone places that God told them. Right? Because a whole lot of them that have gone places have called back for help. How many know if God sends you somewhere, God also equips you? Right? So God will never send you to a place and leave you alone. I remember years ago, my grandmother had this saying on the wall, the will of God will never lead you, but the grace of God can keep you. Amen? So I was telling the bishop, I said, a lot of people, and you know what, you're free to do as you please, but every ditch you get, you got to try to get out of that ditch. So Abraham did not go where he wanted to go, but he went to the place that God told him of. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
All right, so let's continue. And Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And this, when it says they went both of them together, it's a Hebrew idiom means that Isaac went willingly and freely. All right, so Isaac did not fight him. Verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide. All right, and this, I don't want to get into that now, but God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. So each time it shows you that Isaac was one what? Willing. He wasn't being forced to go, he went willing. But later on, we'll see when we get, we're going to break some of these verses down a little further, okay? And Abraham said to my son, God will provide, verse 9. And they came to the place which God had, so they went to any place, and they went to a specific place. So in order for us to get God's blessing, we must walk in God's perfect will, which means where God sent us is the place that we must go to. Amen. Just because the grass is not greener on the other side doesn't mean that. I remember Elder Rutledge preaching a message years ago. Y'all remember Elder Rutledge? Yeah, when I first got saved, he said he preached a message, the grass is not greener on the other side. You remember that back? That was his message. I know time has caught up to you a little bit. You remember that one? He said the grass is not greener on the other side. You know, so many times we're in a place that things look better over there till we get there. Amen. But I was showing Minister Simon just to divert a little bit. When we as parents make bad decisions as far as the will of God, and it has a tremendous impact on our children, God holds us accountable. You know why? Because our bad decisions, when it hurts our kids spiritually, that means we're sacrificing our children. God got on Israel repeatedly. He said, don't sacrifice your children. But unfortunately, we live in a day and time where adults are so selfish that they fail to realize life decisions have an impact on the Lord. Let's keep going. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his... Wait, let me go back to verse 9. And they came to the place that God had told them about, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. And bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. So to me, that's interesting. So I want to look up, I did a review on how Israel built altars. Right. No way in the rest of the Bible does it say when he laid wood in order. Right? Remember that Isaac is a type of who? Christ. So when Isaac was born to the sacrifice, who carried the wood? No, bring that Isaac, right? When Jesus went to the cross, who carried the wood? So when Jesus carried the wood, then he was sacrificed on the same wood that he? That Isaac has been sacrificed on the same wood that he carried. Right? Because he is a type of Christ. All this takes place on what day? What day did Jesus raise? So everything in this scripture points to who? To Jesus, right? So we're going to see that a little later, okay? And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and took the lion to sleep. Let's go to 11. This is what happened. I got diverted for a couple of minutes today. So I had to make up for lost time. I ain't using no names. But it was a good diversion. In fact, the one lady said, asked the person that was singing, said, have you ever thought about going on the Voices? The person said, yeah, I use my voice for the Lord. That's the Voice. All right, verse 11. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. Now, once again, there's no, in our lexicon, if you look at it, there's no translation for here am I. Right? And we know this year, quite a few months ago, also in verse 7, when Isaac calls Abraham, Abraham says, here am I. There is no English word for here am I, but it is in the Hebrew. And the Hebrew is the word hineni, H-I-N-E-N-I. And you know what I mean to make God at your complete disposal? Wherever you tell me to go, I go. Whatever you want me to do, God, I do it without question, without hesitation. It means I'm at your complete disposal. When God called Moses, Moses said, here am I. When God called Jacob, he said, here am I. Right? You know what I said? God, I'm at your complete disposal. Amen. When we're at God's complete disposal, even when we don't understand what God is doing, we'll do it. Can we say praise the Lord? Alright, so he said, lay not thy hand upon the land, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou. Now we know because Abraham waited how many years to get Isaac? 25. And because Isaac is a type of Christ, Christ was sacrificed at what age? 33 and a half, right? So that means that Isaac has to be somewhere in that age range, 33 and a half, because he's a type of Christ. He mirrors Christ in every way. Even when the ram is caught in the thicket by his horns, right? What was Christ? Christ had what place over here? The crown of thorns. So Isaac's sacrifice typifies Christ in so many ways. Amen. So just keep that in mind. So when Abraham is there and he's dealing with Isaac, and God calls to him out of heaven, he said, now I know. You mean it took 58 years for God to say, now I know that thou lovest me what? More than thy son. So after all that Abraham went through, how many of God just needed one more test? And you know, we never know at what point in our sacrificial life we are, but God said, this is your last test for me to be fully persuaded that you're convicted to love me. Amen? And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his. Now, did that ram just suddenly appear? It was there all along. But God did not show Abraham that it was there. Why? Because God needed Abraham to go through the whole hineni, the whole complete sacrifice, the whole complete, I'm at your disposal. So what does this mean? All of our blessings is right there. What God has for us is right there. Well, why don't we get it? Because we haven't yet surrendered all. So when Abraham got ready to finally sacrifice his son, God said, stop. The blessing, you just walked by your blessing, is right behind you. But I did not show it to you yet because I wanted to know what was in your heart. I wanted to see how obedient you were to my word. So yes, everything I promised you has been right there all along. But you can't get it until you're obedient. Well, what is it? Until you go all the way, right? Man, you draw the line. No turning back. You got to go all the way for God to show you the blessing. So we worry ourselves, we worry, we do all this, and the blessing is right there. And all God requires is obedience. I just want to skip down to verse 18, all right? Just to show you, what does obedience do for you? And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be, because what? So your obedience is not dismiss you. Your obedience does not qualify you for the blessing, but it blesses those that are also associated with you. What? Your obedience. So he said, all nations of the earth are going to be blessed because you were going to sacrifice your son, and you did it in obedience. But now we're going to go to the next verse, and the subject is, what do we do when God tells us to do something? He said, don't do it. Listen, God said, don't sacrifice your child. But then he turns around and tells Abraham to sacrifice his child. And God is not schizophrenic, right? God is not double-minded. God knows exactly what he's going to do. God already knew the outcome. But he needed Abraham to show that he will be faithful in regards. So others got blessed because of obedience. When we're obedient, you know, a lot of times we try to figure out how we can do this for our family and loved ones, and we go through all the trouble. And then a lot of times we say, you know what? I know God wants me to do this, but if I do this, I'm going to miss out on helping my family. You're going to miss out if you don't do what God says. Because your obedience causes a blessing to flow to everybody. Do you understand? So your obedience is not limited just to you being blessed. And it was of Isaac, and all nations was blessed because of Isaac's obedience? No, because of Abraham's obedience. All nations were blessed. Alright? But then we're going to say, this is what God said don't do. So God is not schizophrenic, he's not double-minded, he's not bipolar. Right? God knows what he's doing. So God puts us in position to see if we will be faithful even when we don't understand. And my question tonight is, when God asks you to do something that you don't understand, will you still be faithful? When God asks you to do something, say, well, God, you told me, for instance, if God said, do this, and you put the answer there, I don't want to use no examples. You put your, God said, do this, and your narrow sight says, if I do this, I'm going to lose out. God, I know what you said, but I can't do that. Because if I do that, God, I'm going to miss out. God will say, wait a minute. Don't you know that I'm your creator? Don't you know there's nothing too hard for God? So how do you lose out when you're obedient to God? Think about that. How do we lose out in our obedience? We just read, all nations of the earth were blessed because of Abraham's obedience. If you want some blessings, the stuff that's been messed up, get it right. Right? The areas in your life that's been out of order, get it back in order. Not in order with man, just get in order with God. Right? Because if you're in order with God, God said, I'll fight the battle. You don't even have to fight in this battle, because the battle is not yours, the battle is yours. But God said, I need obedience. Because to obey is, unfortunately, many are sacrificing today instead of obeying God, because they're walking by sight and not by faith. So Deuteronomy 12, 28 reads, observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well. He says, so I want you to do well. I want you to observe. I want you to hear all these words. So not just hear, but I want you to pay particular attention to all these words, that it may go well. Lord, I want it to go well, so I need to give the more earnest heed to the things which I've heard. That said what? Anytime I let them slip. If not, it's going to go well with thee only. But going well with who? Thee and thy children after thee. So the residual blessings of your obedience is passed on to your children. The residual trouble of your disobedience is passed on to your children. So we have to learn to be what? Obedient. So when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of all the people. He said it's going to go well with you and your children when you do what is good and it has to be right. You know what I mean? Your have to have the right spirit. Right? So you can be doing the right thing with the wrong spirit. God won't bless that. Because it has to be good and right. Right? He didn't normally say just good. And he didn't just say right. But it has to be what? A combination of the two. Because that's how God is. When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself, that thou be not snared by. You know what that means? Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. We ought to be sanctified, which means set apart for God. So God said, listen, I need you to be separate. I don't need you to be influenced by those ungodly things that are happening around about you. I don't care if they do have a man in their church. If it's ungodly, God's not in it. Right? So we need to learn to follow God and his word through obedience. Can we just say hallelujah? After that, they be destroyed from before thee, and thou inquire not after their God, saying, how did these nations serve their God? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the law which he hated have they done unto their God. For even their sons and their daughters have they what? So God said, if you offer your child as a sacrifice, that's an abomination. God said, I hate that. God said, I detest that. Well, why would God and Abraham do this? Why would God have Abraham do something that he said, don't do? Right? So many times, and this is where all of our walk with God is different. When God is speaking to you, now if you have a serious prayer life and you spend some time with God, even if you don't have a prayer life, you can be going somewhere God will deal with you. You can't share what God told you with someone else because they don't understand the spirit that you were in when God spoke to you. So when you go sharing what God told you with someone else, they talk you out of your blessing because their voice becomes louder than God's voice. You understand? So God is speaking and leading you in a direction and you go the opposite because you went and talked to your best friend, your spouse, or someone else. But God did not speak to them. He spoke to you. Well, listen, Abraham is a classic example. When God told Abraham to go sacrifice Isaac, did he tell Sarah? No. Right? And we know Abraham and Sarah was cold. Did he tell Isaac?
No.
Why? Because it was between Abraham and God. So God didn't tell, Abraham didn't tell anyone. When he had his two men that were going with him, he didn't tell them anything. Right? So we have to learn. Sometimes when God is dealing with you, you just got to keep it to yourself. Because once you go sharing it, they're going to talk you out of what God told you to do. Right? Now, I'm not saying go create something. I'm saying when God really speaks to you. All right? So what do you do when God tells you to do something and he said you don't do it because you don't understand? Look at somebody and say, it's just a test. Come on, it's just a test. God just wants to see how obedient you are. Because he already knew the outcome, amen? Verse 32, what things soever I command you, observe to do it. He said, thou shalt not add thereto, nor. So God is telling the children of Israel, he said, whatever I told you to do, do it. Don't add to it, and don't take away from it. Right? You want to be blessed. Well, you can't be blessed adding to what I told you to do. You know, because sometimes you say, listen, well, maybe God forgot this. Trust me, God never forgets. Maybe God didn't know. God knows everything. Right? So don't go ahead to what God told you to do. And if God tells you to do something, say, if I do that, I might lose. Don't take away from it. Just walk in obedience. Let's go to Deuteronomy 4:2. All right? Just to let you know how God sees to adding and taking away from his word, God does not like it. Amen. He said, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish out from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I am. So he's repeating that I don't want you to add to it, and I don't want you to do it. take away from it. Proverbs 35 says, some of the words of God are pure. Right? So if God is talking to you, he's saying every word. Every word is pure. You know what pure is? Holy. Every word God speaks to you is holy, and holy it means it's clean. What? Let me say every word. He is a shield unto them that put there. So when you trust God, God is a fence all around you. But you have to be obedient to him. He said, and thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee and not be found. So whatever God has spoken to you in his word, don't add to it and don't let nobody else add to it. What God says he means and what he means, he says, amen. Revelation 22, 18 through 19. For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any, and this is how serious God is. That's why today, don't get caught up and listen to a lot of people that put stuff in God's word that you can't find in the word. If they add something to the word, you're going to add some stuff to you that God never intended. And if they're taking away stuff in the word, you're going to take away some stuff for you that God intended for you. Why? Well, that's what they said. That's why the scripture says, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are what they will testify of me. All right, let me keep moving because I'm already way behind. He said, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto them him the what? Plagues that are written in this book. So you ever wonder sometimes in life, God, I'm doing everything, why do I have these physical problems? And then add to his word. God is serious about his word. So he's so serious about his word, he said, listen, when you add to it, I'm going to give you trouble because I'm going to humble you. I want to make you to know that man must not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He said, if you add stuff to my word, then I want to allow you to be afflicted so I can get your attention. The psalmist said, it's good that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your precepts, that I may learn your word. So in my affliction, I saw God. So when we go opposite God, God allows trouble to come back. God said, I'm trying to get you back on the right track. I'm trying to get you to walk back in the word, in my word and in my will. So verse 19 said, and this is how serious God is about messing with his word. His words are left to our feet. And it said, what? Life to our path. Thy words have I hid in my heart that I might not. So his word went to hide his heart. Verse 19 said, if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of. Hold on. That's how serious God is about his words. If you take away from it, God said, I'll take you out of the book. Right? So I don't care how eloquent the minister is, his name in the word don't follow. I don't care how charismatic he is. If he's not in the word, don't follow him. Alright? So what everybody else is doing, God said, yeah, you do it, and you take away from my word, I'm going to take your name out of the book of life. If you add to my word, I'm going to add some afflictions and problems that you shouldn't have. And then we say, well, what am I supposed to do? Seek the law while he may be found. Call upon the law while he is near. The Bible says, let the wicked forsake his ways and a righteous man his thought, and let him turn. That means repent. Shuv, S-H-U-V, in Hebrew, turn around. You're going away from God. God said, I need you to come back to me. I'm allowing these afflictions and problems to come so that you can get back on the right path. Anybody just want to be pleasing in this sight? You got to turn around. Amen? He said, I'll take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now, Leviticus, I'm going to skip this, but this also repeats about, let's go down to verse 4. You're dealing with the children of Israel not doing like the others are doing. You know, we have to be so careful. I was telling Bishop, I said, Bishop, you know what? We're going to stick to God's word and what's right, even if me and my wife are home alone in the church. Right? Because if I please people and I take away from God's word, he's going to take away my name out of the book of life. Guess what? I ain't going to hell for nobody. I'm not. Say, well, ain't nobody in the church but you and your wife. That's right, God will take care of us. God is to say, I'm going to stick to the word. Why? Because who do you love the most? If you love God, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you don't love him, you won't keep his commandments. Amen. And we're living in a day and age where people think they can cite God out. You can't cite God out. You can't make up stuff for God. God knows everything he is about you. So a lot of people think they can cite God out and try and pull the wool over God's eye. How can you pull the wool over someone's eyes that never slumbers nor sleeps? But he's always on the call. Verse 4 says, and if the people of the land do any ways, hide thy eyes from the man when he giveth up. Actually, I need to read this because this, let me do this. I don't want to skip this. Because this tells you, this goes through the whole family lineage. Tell you, this is a problem you bring on your family and your children when you don't do right. Right? So it's important we got to do right. Right? It said, well, I don't have no children. Yes, you do, because you have saints that are new saints in the church that are watching you. So they're your children. Right? You didn't think all was Timothy Paul's son, but he was the son in the gospel. Right? So you got children, whether you choose to accept it or not, and they're watching you. God holds you accountable for those because you're their spiritual leaders, because you've been saved and they're looking up to you, because our lives is a living epistle. Read and known of what? All men. But let's read this. Starting with verse 1 of Luke, Leviticus 20. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth him his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stone. Listen, God said, you can't sacrifice. But then he tells Abraham to sacrifice. Right? Verse 3 says, and I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people. But you just told Abraham to do it. Because God knew he wasn't going to have to do it. God just needed him to go through the obedience and to show faithfulness. Alright? He cut him off from among his people because he had given of his seed unto Moloch to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do in any ways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Moloch and kill him not. Listen, this is what God said. If they sacrifice, kill him. We said, well, that's kind of cool, but that's what God has. That's the time and the age. They win. Amen. He said, then will I set my face against that man and against. So we allow wrong for whatever reason. Well, I just don't know, just my heart of a passion. Well, who do you want to obey more? Your heart of God. Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and what? That's the living. You don't even know your own heart. The Lord said, I search the heart. I try to make to give unto every man according as his works shall not work. You know, a lot of people living on past laws. God said, I'm not going to judge you by what you did before, what your work shall be. What are you doing now? Right, so a lot of them living on yesterday's testimony. It says, verse 6, however, the finish says, it will cut him off, and all that go are whoring after him to commit horrible bullying from among their people. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, and after witches to go a horn unto them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut it off from among this people. Now this is what God tells us to do. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye. Don't be like everybody else. Holy is clean. Holy is pure. Holy is right in the eyes of God. Only the pure in heart shall see God. So, you know, if we just look at what Jesus said, the pure in heart, sometimes we need to examine our hearts to see where we at. If we got a whole lot of stuff in our heart that's not pure, how can we see God? If our hearts are not pure, then we're not holy. So what God intends for us to do is to take on the characteristic and nature of God That's why Peter said, be ye holy. For I am holy. God wants us to take on his characteristics. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. He said, I am the Lord which sanctified you. All right, so let's look at Hebrews 11, 17 through 19 to see what Abraham's mindset was about sacrificing his only son Isaac. So Abraham, God said, go sacrifice him. The thing is, he said, well, why would God ask Abraham to do something that he said he'll do? Thank God Abraham didn't see what we see. Thank God that Abraham didn't rationalize like people rationalize today. So let's go to Hebrews 17. 11, 17 through 19. What was Abraham's mindset as he was doing what God told him to do? My question is this, before we go to this. Did Abraham hesitate? Did he question God? He rose up what? Early the next morning. And I read in one of the accounts of Abraham. It said, listen, Abraham was so eager to do what God wanted him to do. Abraham had servants, but who went and got the mules or the donkey? Abraham did. Who gathered the wood? Abraham said, listen, God, I'm going to show you how committed I am. I'm not going to have my servant get the donkeys. I'm not going to even have my servant get the wood. I'm going to do it all myself. What did he do it early the next morning? He didn't hesitate. Amen. So God shows him, and the next morning he does it. He didn't hesitate. Now the thing is, how many of us have God asked to do something, and we still haven't done it? Yeah, this is a personal assessment. I want to be real with God. Well, how many know God has led us to do certain things for him? We still haven't done it. So 11, 17 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up, you know, in other words, he said, you got the promise, then you offered up the promise. His only begotten son. You got the promise, then you offered up the promise. Of whom it was said, they and Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, you know what it's like saying, God said, listen, I'll bless you with that child. That child is going to have a tremendous offspring and seeds. They're going to be blessed. Then God's going to say, now I want you to go kill that child. We would say, wait a minute, well, where's the blessing going to come in? That's how we would have done it. But Abraham just walked in obedience. Remember we said, faith is what? Obedience. And obedience is what? Faith. So how can you have faith if you're not obedient? Right. So Abraham demonstrated his faith by his obedience. Verse 19 says, accounting that God was able to what? Raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a faith. Let's take a closer look at Genesis 22:7. And Isaac spake unto his father, unto Abraham his father, and said, my father, and he said, Hananiah. Right? Listen, I said, so I want you to do this. Look wherever you say, here am I am here. Look what they put in our interlinear. God doesn't have to make words. Right? So when God calls, listen, when God calls Abraham in verse 1, he says, I make you a disposal. I make you a complete disposal. What do we have to do? I'll do it. Then if you skip down to verse 7, this is verse 7, when Isaac calls his father, he said, I started offering you a disposal, I'm sealing your disposal. Right. So then when God calls Abraham in verse 11, from beginning to end, he did not sway, he did not change. He did not swagger, he did not stagger, he stayed in the promise. So I was faithful in the beginning. In the middle, I'm still committed, and in the end, I'm still committed. Amen. God wants us to be consistent and faithful. Amen. So, and I just spake unto his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for an offering? All right. And now Abraham replied, he said, the Lord shall provide. The Hebrew word he used for provide is Yara. We know it said Jehovah Jara means it shall be seen. Right? We say God will provide. That's not what they really mean. It shall be seen. And if you read it, go Genesis 22:14. All right. So Jireh means it shall be seen. Okay. Now he tells us what it means in verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place what? Jehovah Jireh, as it said to say, in the what? It shall. So that's what Jehovah Jireh means. He tells us. It doesn't mean he will provide, but he will provide because he's seen. But what it really means is forecast to the future. It shall be seen in the mouth of the Lord. So what was Isaac sacrificing? Mount Moriah. What was Jesus sacrificing? It shall be seen in the mouth. So what was Jesus sacrificing? Mount Moriah. So all along, God was showing them what he was going to do in advance. So Jehovah Jireh means it shall be seen in the mouth of the Lord. But what was the mouth of the Lord? When Jesus was sacrificing. No charge, just keep going. All right. So it says, and behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? It's important that I point out that there are two words for where in Hebrew. They are Ipo and Aye. Now, Hebrew is a language of a rather sparse vocabulary, so when it includes more than one word for the same idea, there's usually a very good reason for the extra word. That reason is usually because there is some. Some important difference between the two conceptual related words. Something so important that the two ideas cannot be covered by a single word. You recognize distinctions when it comes to the Hebrew words for love. They got these three different words for love. Alright, we're not going to focus on that for now. But let's once again, you will not get none of these meanings without interlinking. Because when I was reading what some of these Hebrew scholars said, I said, well, that's not what our Bible says. So then I went to the Hebrew Bible, Interlinear Hebrew Bible, which is the original text. And they were right. And so in studying God's Word, you have to do some comparison. Do you spend a lot of time? You might spend weeks on one verse. Right? But at least you know what it means. Right? You won't go butchering God's Word because you don't know. All right? You recognize distinction when it comes to it, but you might not notice that there are also distinctions about the concept of where. Once again, our translation leaves us in the dark. Ipo occurs in Genesis 37:16, where Joseph is looking for his brothers. Where are they shepherding the flock? He asks. Occurrences of Ipo come with a general idea of where when it comes to geography. This is the where of location. You remember in Genesis 18 when Abraham was speaking to the angel of the Lord and the two angels, and they said, where is Sarah? That was Ipo. Where's her location? Right? So that's Ipo is what they would use in that case. It's a geographical location, alright? But Aye is not the kind of where. Isaac is not asking about the location of the sheep for the sacrifice. He is asking in surprise why the sheep is not with them. So that's what he means by where. Why isn't the sheep with us? His use of Aye indicates that he expects the offering to be along with them, but for some reason, it is not. Where is it? Once you see the difference between these two words, the verse comes to life. This isn't a casual question about location. This is a concern about the unusual circumstances that are not as they. It just wasn't. It didn't make sense what was taking place. Now that we recognize the crucial difference in Hebrew, we're ready for one more amazing insight. In Genesis 3, God encounters Adam after he and Eve have eaten the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. By the way, God's statement is the first question in the Bible. That's right, which I didn't know until I was reading this. It's the first question, because how many know, most people think the first question was when Satan was talking to Eve, right? He said, has God said? But that was not a question. If you thought that the serpent asked the first question, then you are reading a mistranslation. The serpent does not ask a question. The serpent says a fact with an implied suggestion. God said it, but so what? Right? So it wasn't really a question. He was stating it. Alright? But God does ask a question. He asked Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:9, where are you? Alright? And the Lord God called Adam and Eve and said unto them, Ipoh, which is a location. Which Hebrew words for where do you suppose God uses? Is God asking Adam location? Hardly. God is asking, that should not have been Ipoh, it should have been Aye, sorry. God is asking why Adam is, if y'all correct any of y'all's notes, instead of Ipoh, it should be Aye. Right? God is asking why Adam is not where he is supposed to be, that is, with him. So that's what God is asking. We say, he said, where are you? In other words, not what location, because God knew where they were. God was asking, why aren't you with me? Why aren't you obedient to what I told you to do? That's what I am mean. All right? I don't know what I meant. Oh, the difference in the word makes an enormous difference in our understanding of the real situation. If God asks you, where are you? Would you answer with a location, or would you be like Adam and Eve? They hid themselves because they were not with God as they should have been. They weren't faithful to God, neither were they obedient to Him. All right, let's stop there, because it's 8:15. That's good enough. There's a whole lot of stuff to digest at one time. All right, so we'll stop there. Amen. So the thing is this, it's hard. So I don't want to spend a lot of money for stuff, you know, but I do buy Bibles. But I went out and spent $249 for this one Bible software because it breaks down the Hebrew and the Greek words to give you a better understanding. Right? Because if you want to teach, you might as well teach for the point of knowledge. Right? So yes, I spent the money for that. They got some more stuff. Pastor Jay, who Pastor Jay? Y'all pay, give me the money. I gotta find out. It's supposed to be for the iPad. I gotta find out. Yeah, but it's so important because we unfortunately the way the translators are translating a lot of the words that we've gone over, they've left a lot out. A whole lot out, you know. When they said there's no meaning for these words. And even this software has some of the same errors. They have no meaning for the word. But the good thing about this software that I purchased is you can pull up the regular Bible text. That's a whole lot of words. Wow, George, whoa. Well, he didn't catch it. All right, that's coming through the air condition. Let me see. Give me that blue container right there. I said we'll get up there and clean that out. Hey, hold on. Look at those right there. Hey, if I could just be a water catcher in the house of the Lord. Then you could put the altar on this. I think it's finished, so.